Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
First of all, we are so blessed to have Rapama Ka back in the studio with us one more time. Last week was a gem. We got so much good feedback. People were feeling it. We started laying out the blueprint for the Black community as being executed by Nexus Community Partners in St. Paul, Minnesota. And today we're going to keep the conversation going because it was just so good, but we didn't get to everything last week. So last week we got to, and by the way, if you did not listen, please go back and listen. Do your homework. Go back and listen. But we were walking through the initiatives and programs of Nexus Community Partners, and we only got through two. We talked about the Boards and Commissions Leadership Institute, which is really training up new leaders to go into appointed government positions so that we can have a seat at the table. We also talked about the North Star Black Cooperative Fellowship, which is really teaching about the business of cooperative economics, owning businesses, not just for profit, but for community benefit. And so there's a bunch of other initiatives that are being launched by Nexus, that are being run by Nexus. And so we're going to keep that conversation going today. So glad to have Rapa back in the studio with us today.
We get called to share what we do from folks from different places across the country.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Wealth Building Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Was us going down to Atlanta, sharing what we're doing around what we call community wealth building, which is what all our ownership stuff lives under community wealth building, right? And then helping them to think through how do you implement that in. And so right now there's an Atlanta Wealth Building Alliance that actually had its roots in Nexus helping to helping to figure it. So we get called to different places to share what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So the education piece is a big piece. And like I said, and I've traveled across the country. There is no intermediary that operates like Nexus that is out there. But we're also, through our relationship with Momentum, entering into a whole nother domain that we don't spend time in. Again, I mentioned our world is, we influence philanthropy, community, and then government. But this is an investment world, right? That we just don't. So I'm just mindful of that as we're having the conversation.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're glad that you're able to keep talking to us, man. I know we got a lot of great feedback from last week's show that they didn't know that you guys existed, didn't know that there was such structure and thought that's being put into really uplifting our community from so many different angles. And so we're just excited today to keep the conversation going. And I know, Andre, your favorite part of Nexus is Root.
Well, I'm intrigued by it. And again, there were so many rich opportunities to collaborate, network, and learn that I forewent one session because I didn't want to miss another.
Is that a word?
Performance. I don't know. Well, our listeners know I make up words all the time. Or I'll say something like, I'm not sure if that's a word, but people understand what I'm saying. So I am keenly interested in learning more about reclaiming our own time, the concept behind it, otherwise known as ROOT, the concept behind it, how it came about, and the impact that it's having.
Yeah, two kind of streams of effort converging really brought ROOT into the forefront. One was I was explaining after a decade of kind of the grind kind of work, you know, meeting, paying for meetings, not to learn, but to be in conversation for that particular meeting, mm-hmm. not having time to reflect, which is even more the case now with you know, Zooms, right? You can go from one Zoom to the other. You don't have that little break, right?
It's Lord.
But I had run myself to a place where it was clear that I couldn't go any further. And I reached out to four foundations and set up meetings. And I sit down with them and I said, listen, I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. That it is not about capacity or skills. At the end of the day, it's because I'm just human and I just can't do it. Three of the four gave me resources and said, go take care of yourself. We really need you in this work. I took a 3-month sabbatical.
Love it.
Oh, when you say resources, you mean money?
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it difficult for you to acknowledge that you were tired and you needed some time?
No, I believe truth telling is a core part of the work. You know, I could have went in there and played around with it and went to do something different and been tired doing that, right? But I knew I had to take care of myself, right? And so they put up money and I took a 3-month sabbatical. Mm-hmm. We did a very in-depth conversation in the organization about the sabbatical wasn't just about me, but the health of the organization as mm-hmm. well.
How long did you take?
3 months.
3 months, okay.
We created opportunities for leaders to take on new roles in the organization. And I went off to take care of myself. I did that. It was a rest, period of rest and learning and some travel. And
just so I'm clear, the money that, or the resources, you call the resources, that's a nice way to say money, but did it go towards covering your salary while other people did work that you would have normally been doing, or did it cover their salary? Like, how did the money?
The money was to support things that I wouldn't have been able to do financially.
Got it. Okay.
Right. And the power of it at the time was that the requirement wasn't do us a report, tell us how you used your time and the money. It was go take care of yourself. Don't worry about reporting anything because that becomes work, right? And so I went off and there's a lot that went into the sabbatical, but I know we don't have time to
get into that. Rest can be work if you got to do a report after.
Yeah, all you do all that.
How did you spend that time?
That's right. So I returned, and we made a very deliberate and intentional decision to make the return also not mm-hmm. just for returning, but the organization receiving me.
Yeah.
Right? Because in my absence, new practices had emerged. People had taken on different responsibilities. Yeah. And what I didn't want to do was return and bump into things that I didn't know had been put in place.
Yeah.
But what it led to was the organization then having some conversation about what does wellness look like for the organization,
mm-hmm.
right? And we ended up building out a whole culture of care
mm-hmm.
for the organization where we invested, we thought about our health benefits through wellness. We thought about our salaries through health and wellness. We thought about our HR policies through health and wellness. Mm-hmm. We thought about our management structure through health and wellness, and really built in funds for folks to take care of themselves.
Love that.
We had wellness bucks. We had...
Now, is this just for employees in Texas, or is it...
It was employees.
Did it spread to other... Okay.
It was employees at the time. And it was the beginning, because over the long haul, we ended up with a four-day work week, unlimited PTO. Mm-hmm. Just ways to create a culture that says that we are committed to your health and your wellness, because mm-hmm. we know an investment in it allows you to show up more fully at work.
Love that.
Right. And so we have a whole structure, system, and policies around wellness and culture of care.
Got it.
Right. At the very same time, I mentioned earlier that I was a Bush Fellow. Mm-hmm. And so the organization, the foundation that gave out the Bush Fellowships, knew that I had been through, that I was a fellow. And they called me to say, listen, are you interested in doing a sabbatical program, right? Mm-hmm. Giving your experience and giving what the organization is doing. And I said yes on a couple of conditions. That it can't be a traditional sabbatical program. It has to do, on the one hand, it has to support individuals mm-hmm. who need breaks, who just don't get them.
Yeah.
Right. And two, we get to challenge nonprofit sector to see your employees as your most valuable asset mm-hmm. and that you need to take care of them. We get to challenge philanthropy to loosen up resources so that organizations don't have to sneak and take care of their people.
Wow.
They can actually allocate dollars and budgets to do so. And then the fourth layer was that we spend time getting at this narrative that the only way that I demonstrate that I'm committed to the cause is I run myself into the ground. That's a very capitalist structure.
Yes.
You know, work yourself to death. Mm-hmm. And we were saying, no, wellness is a responsible act, and it's required in order for us to deliver on our mission. And so we, and this idea that, you know, we work folks until they fall over, and then we do a luncheon and we give them a plaque.
Right.
You know, we do a dinner and we give them a plaque at the very same time that we're scanning to see who's next, that we have to bump into that real hard. And so Root was meant to get at those areas. And it was structured so that there are folks that could take a 3-month sabbatical. And they could afford to take away from work for three months. There were others who couldn't. And so for those who couldn't, we created what we called a rhythmic sabbatical so that folks could piece it out over the year and take breaks that allowed them to catch their breath. And then we decided that we knew we had to build the ecosystem. When we first started doing cooperatives, talking about doing cooperative work, nobody in the region, especially in the context of culturally based organizations, nobody knew what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. It took us 3 years to build the environment. So we said we need to build the environment around sabbaticals as well and find healers and bring them together and connect them to each other. All this. So Root came out of that. And I mentioned earlier the idea of sometimes you don't need to teach people new things, you need to help. Sometimes it's about helping them, right? My thing is that the closer we get to the world that we want to see and experience, the greater the slope of injustice we'll encounter. That it is at that cusp that the grip gets tightened the most. And we are asking people to rise and rise again, despite what the circumstances look like. Mm-hmm. And so we did that. Yeah. So then we have a responsibility to take care of.
Absolutely.
Root came in that spirit.
So then Root is giving the funding for other nonprofit leaders to be able to take a break. I wish y'all had a corporate version for me to take a break.
Well, and let's think about leaders, right? Because we're not talking about just CEOs mm-hmm. or executive directors. We're talking about folks who show up on the street, too. Mm. Or folks who their jobs. This ain't my job in terms of my paid income. this is what I do on behalf of my community. And I show up all the time because I know it's important, mm-hmm. but I never get a break. Nobody considers giving me time to catch my breath, right. to go, whatever it is that I, those are the folks that we're talking about too. So we're talking about not just top level folks. We're talking about, because this work lives across layers. Mm-hmm. This is a multi-layered game, right? So we have to take care of people wherever they are. And this is what made it different, is that it didn't just zero in on top-level executives or CEOs mm-hmm. who typically tend to have that income to take a break, right? These are folks that ain't got the money to do that sometimes.
No, I love that. And it certainly is not anywhere close to being the same thing. But number one, I love that you spoke your truth, because as a man, I feel like it sent a different message that sometimes women don't get a chance to talk about it, right? I say all the time, from a wealth building perspective, you know, women are 2 to 3 times more likely to be caregivers. And usually that means for parents or children. And right when you were responding to the question about how Root came about, and you said that 3 of the 4 organizations you were working with said, gave you some resources and said, go take a break, go take some rest. I got a call from my daughter, who's a freshman in college. She's a student athlete. And I know she's dealing with a joint issue, which we don't know if it's an injury or if it's just pain, there's a difference. But I needed to take that phone call. And the old me would have just sat here and worried and fumbled through our conversation, knowing the first thing on my mind was, is she okay? Is she injured? Is she worried that her scholarship is in jeopardy? What is her mindset? I had to take that call. And the fact that the words that you spoke, which were something about giving permission, I'm like, you know what? I'm taking permission to go see about my child. Yeah. Again, it's not the same thing, yeah. but it. I felt like I had the permission to go see about my child.
Absolutely. You know, I think that, again, honesty is the best policy and truth telling is the best practice. Mm-hmm. I just think that we can deceive ourselves if we want to and end up hurting ourselves, or we can tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Come what may.
Yes.
Right. And in that case, I couldn't go any further.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
You know,
she acknowledged that.
Yeah. And again,
versus it's not, having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, sometimes your body will force you to take.
Yeah, it'll shut you down.
Because you just get sick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, car accident. You name it.
Right. It will shut you down, whether your mind thinks it can continue to rise. If you exhaust it, you run yourself. And I was running myself, you know. Yeah.
You know, there's a song about this. I'm not your superwoman.
Oh, stop it.
But, like, I love that. I love that. Yeah, so we got to go to...
When you're talking about songs, there's a... I don't know if you're familiar with Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Of course.
Yeah, he has a piece where there's a lyric that says, there's a peaceful feeling when we surrender. And there's healing power in letting go. Truth, mm-hmm. right? And part of that was surrendering to the fact that my body was saying, you can't do this anymore, right. You know? And there's no shame in that.
Right. But we've been conditioned. That's a whole nother conversation unto itself. I'm going to have to go see about Root. In any case, we have to go to break and we'll continue this conversation. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope.
no hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay, okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Momentum.
Before the break, we talked about, actually before the break and last week, we've talked about a lot of the programs, initiatives that are being run by Nexus Community Partners. We're still here with Rapa Makah. We need to get into these last two. And it's almost like one's better than the next. Like, I don't know if you have a favorite, but like, so far, they're all my favorite.
Yeah, I think that they are critical strands in the same strategy.
Yeah.
You know.
So let's start with the Shared Ownership Center at Nexus. This is also interesting because it's about succession planning for business owners. We know that there's some stats out there. 85% of businesses have no succession plan.
Right.
And even if folks decide to list their businesses and try to sell them with a broker, nearly 70% of the time, they don't sell.
Right.
So what happens to these businesses in our community?
Right. And I think, you know, to put that in context, we have business owners moving to retirement in the tens of thousands every day. And mainly in a huge number of baby boomers whose children are not interested in those businesses.
These are facts.
These are facts. Mm-hmm. And we talked about 15% or so, you know, if it's 85% don't have succession plans, that suggests that there's another 15 out there. Well, if you even go a step lower to like grandkids, those numbers go down.
Mm-hmm.
So a number of things can happen. Either those businesses can be sold to a competitor, and that competitor may or may not bring in their own employees, transfer from one place to another. They may take that property and reuse it for something else. It could be sold to private equity firms. More often than not, they close them. And huge loss to the economic kind of base and stability, the tax base of a neighborhood or a community. And what we're saying is to those baby boomers or those retiring folks is instead of going the route of closing or selling to a competitor or a private equity firm, sell the business to the employees. They have committed themselves. If it's a successful business, mm-hmm. then sell it to the employees. They are the ones that have helped to make it a success, right? And spread that ownership more broadly in that community and sustain your legacy at the very same time. And we're finding that transfer of wealth from those owners either to private equity firms is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is keep those resources in the community. And so, again, it allows for opportunities for employees not only to become owners of the product that they produce or the service that they produce, but owners of their own labor.
I love it. Just in the short time that you were describing how this works, I thought of three businesses.
Oh, yeah.
Three such businesses in my community that need succession planning or the ideas that they had are not feasible. And this is a strategy I had not considered because I'm not familiar with it. And I feel like I want to go tell them, like,
I mean,
you're over here, but you need to understand this and think about how you can they can leave their legacy in the community that they've served for decades.
Yes. And you hit on a key point. The biggest challenge with it's called business conversions and even startups, right, is awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Folks are not, they're just not aware that this is an option for ownership. It is a business model. And I said earlier, they outperform because people have skin in the game.
Yes.
Less turnover, higher productivity, health benefits are different because you're thinking about your people, right? They're not just your employees. I mean, so there's huge benefits to it. I think is an opportunity to build out another sector of our economy that spreads wealth and ties that wealth to community. And what we, you know, what we know is many of the folks that become owners also purchase their homes right near the businesses that they own, right? Or in proximity, right? Close proximity. And so you're also stabilizing communities.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a way, you know, especially if this transition of wealth is happening, ways to tap into it and that benefit Black and brown folks as what because what we in our work we make sure that there are percentages of employees that are Black and brown that we work with, you know, the businesses that we work with, because we again we're not just talking about the transfer of money, we're talking about equity.
Right.
And building wealth. The industry is aware, the field of cooperative ownership, shared ownership, is aware that people are not aware and is actively trying to bring that awareness to the forefront and provide the technical skills, the technical assistance that's needed for folks who are interested in converting their businesses to shift to cooperatively owned businesses.
Right. Like that. And it's solving our problems because there might be a business that's a landscaping business that is owned by a white person, but all the employees are Latin American and Black.
Mm-hmm.
And that business could be sold to the employees who can then own that business and take it to the next level.
And they're buying structures that make it affordable for folks to actually purchase ownership.
And you do it in a way where the seller gets to go and retire in Florida.
Yeah.
Or New Jersey.
And in some cases, the owners don't go away. They become one of the shared owners.
Right.
Right. They just don't want they don't want to carry the whole business by themselves anymore.
Nobody's retiring to New Jersey. The same.
Yeah, I didn't even comment on
that. Well, right now, moving from Minnesota to New Jersey feels like the same thing. They're both old right now. Yeah. So finally, let's talk about the Open Road Fund. This, to me, is something I've never seen anything like this before. Yeah. Open Road Fund is literally giving money to the descendants of slavery. And not telling them what they got to do with it specifically, but saying, look, this is going to help give you a boost. It's not enough to make you a millionaire so you can retire, but we see you struggling, and we want to give you a financial boost that can change the course of your family moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that every initiative that Nexus puts forth, it's the first of its kind in the region, the state, or the country. No place else in the country has one foundation put up $50 million to support wealth building in the Black community. Now,
and the way you're doing it, it's $50,000 grants per person, 100 per year.
100 of them a year.
Over the course of 10 years?
8 years.
8 years.
So, but I think it's important because I think this is the foundation, the Bush Foundation, made a well thought out board level, staff level decision that it would commit $100 million to two communities that have been impacted significantly in terms of where their current position and possibility around wealth exist. Indigenous community, land, broken treaties, and the Black community. Mm-hmm. Labor, slavery, Jim Crow, separate but equal. All that. If you add those things up, you can guarantee a wealth gap.
A big one.
The why is more important than the what and the how. They came to the why through truth-telling, right? So when the opportunity presented itself, we assessed whether or not we would look at it through that lens. Is this another one of those efforts, you know, to make the foundation look good, or is this an honest recognition that a community of people could be in a different place had not structures and systems played themselves out in the way that they did intentionally.
Absolutely.
Right. That lead to things, that lead to institutions like foundations, you know, mm-hmm. so forth. We weighed that in this on the front end and pulled all our Black staff together and said, is this something we should be doing or not? Right. It is not reparations. It's not an is a reparative act, mm-hmm. but it's not reparations. Mm-hmm. Right? We know that. The power of this was that it was for individuals to build wealth in the areas of business, home ownership, and education. And we knew we had to build some healing activities like gatherings and things like that as people are struggling through or trying to put in place their wealth building strategies. And then the foundation gave the whole $50 million over at one time. Not like we're going to give you 20% of it here. Mm-hmm. Which then allowed us to invest resources that won't be used until later, and to meet an advisory, you know, team like Momentum, right? So, and each year we do 100 gifts of $50,000. Now, this is our 20th year as anniversary as an organization. And over the 20th year period, what we did was we highlighted all these initiatives through virtual convenings. We had a in-person convening in the summer. The last of the initiatives that we did virtually was the Open Road Fund. And we invited two people on who received the gifts just to talk about their experience. Mm-hmm. We had a father that came on that used the dollars to help support one of his daughters completing her PhD.
Wow.
The other daughter is a senior in college, and he was able to take care of all that. He was able to provide some capital to his son's business. And then he spent a little bit of money on some gifts. But those gifts were computers to his kids that he just couldn't have bought them.
Yeah.
We had one person who received the gift whose life circumstances, although she thought about going back to school, life circumstances was such that without resolving some of these financial issues, school, the idea of making a step forward back to school was out of reach, way out of reach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Resolve those issues now back in college. Black Museum has been started. I mean, so folks are doing some very powerful folks.
Yeah.
We have one of the recipients who shared, and we got some video on put a down payment on a home.
Yeah.
You know, so folks are using the resources to build wealth. And the beautiful, that really the situation with the father who was able to support his two, you know, it's that's generational.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, that's generational. He was worried, how will I make sure that my children are better off than me? So folks are doing some very powerful. And then the process is that they have to have a serious plan.
Yeah.
And then they get support all along the plan, financial literacy, planning, all those sorts of things. So they're not out there on their own. It's a game changer. No other foundation has ever given that kind of money to one organization in this country.
It's a substantial amount of money. And the money is not, even though it's being granted or gifted, it's being gifted. It sounds like in the two examples that you gave, it's being invested by the recipients.
Yeah.
Right? Paying for a young person's or any person's education is an investment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So you guys were not only investing the money that was given to you, the recipients of the gifts are also investing.
And to Alan's point, the trajectory of someone's life has shifted. Right.
Completely.
And what does that mean then? For their children.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? You know what I mean? That you really alter the course of a person's financial or economic trajectory.
And you do it with amounts that are meaningful, but it ain't like you're giving somebody $1 million. It just goes to show you make the right investments at the right time.
In the right way.
In the right way to the right people.
Right.
That it's going to give you so much in terms of returns for those families, but for our entire community.
And then provide the kinds of support that is needed along the way so that folks are not left figuring it out on their own.
The ongoing support makes a difference.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about financial literacy for the recipients. Do you all give opportunities for folks to learn about things that might help them be better equipped with how to deal with the money?
Yeah, financial literacy course, classes, sessions are required.
That's great.
On the front end, you know, and you may already know some of this stuff, but how, you know, it can't hurt to know more, right?
Yes. This is me. I always have these little asides. This was so messed up, but do you remember when Dave Chappelle had that skit about Black folks getting reparations? And in the skit, all they did was go on a corner and gamble. And some guy named Tron became a billionaire because it highlighted the fact that there's this view that we don't deserve reparations. I know this is not reparations,
right,
because we're just going to squander it and give it all back.
Exactly.
But you're highlighting that if given the right technical training, if given folks the chance to plan out what they're going to do, they're going to do wise things with the money.
That's right. And here's what we've learned, and we heard it over and over and over again, because you can't. The first time we launched, we got 11,000 applicants,
mm-hmm,
and you can only do 100. Right. We got 11. It showed the drive and interest that people had to tap into resources that would allow them to better position themselves economically in life, right? So we know that with the resources, with the support, folks will do the right thing. The other thing that we learned was for those who didn't get it, because again, it was a high number who applied against a lower number, we got messaged over and over again that although I didn't get the money, the gift, I had never sit down and mapped a wealth building plan for myself before. And so even though I didn't get it, I can see it.
Wow.
I can see it. And so now when opportunities come, I know how to recognize them and apply them. Folks just didn't, so even those who didn't get it benefited. There were a lot that didn't get it. And that ain't, you know, that's hard. No's are hard to hear. But it's not very seldom, I mean, it's not very often that we get to say 100 times.
Yes.
Yes.
Sounds like some positioning was happening, even for the people who got the no.
Yeah. 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 And the hope, you know.
Yeah.
Had people exercising their sense of imagination, what would it look like if I had it?
Yeah. Right.
So very powerful.
So we've been doing nothing today but taking. We've been taking all your information, all your knowledge, and I think the people that are listening appreciate. But what can we give? What can we do to elevate Nexus? What type of partnerships are y'all looking for? What types of introductions do you all need? How do folks stay in touch with you? Give us your speech, your spiel.
Yeah, I think that, our story is one of much has come to us in terms of practice and insights and learning and drawing wisdom from community, that we don't necessarily believe that that all belongs to us, that it does belong to communities around this country, right? And so to the degree to which we can help people think through this kind of stuff, we'll find out how it fits locally, we're open to that. We also know that, as you said a moment ago, both of you said this, $50,000 is a lot, but it ain't. And the demand of 11,000 applications tells you that something is off balance, right? And so the idea of knowing, and we believe this very deeply, nobody does it alone. Nobody does it alone. And if anybody or any organization suggests to me that they can't, I hold them highly suspect. Really. So Nexus can't do this by itself. The model proves itself. But it's not the end all and be all, right? And so to the degree that it makes sense, that it holds value for folks that are committed to this kind of work, partnering, we know we need partners in this. We know we need resources in this, right?
That means money.
That means money. Yeah, right? That means money.
That means money.
That means money. And beyond, right? But this is a heavy lift. We know that, again, that Nexus can't do this by itself. We are proud and excited and honored to be doing this work, to be carrying it forward in the way that we are. But we know that what we're doing is a small piece of a larger call. And so having this kind of conversation with you all and audiences that can hear and say, that makes sense to me. I mean, becomes a bridge.
Love that. So your website is nexuscp.org. Are there places on the website where folks can get in touch with you guys? I see a donate page. I see a contact page.
Yes, there's a donate page. There's okay. A contact page in there. Either myself, there's a Teresa Gardella. You can see all okay. of our. We try to make the website, as user friendly as possible, so you can get a lot more detail about what we're doing mm-hmm. than what I'm able to give in this time. But you can also see who it is that you reach out to and connect with you.
Love that. Love that. So if you're a foundation leader, get in touch with Rapa through the nexuscp.org website. If you are at a corporation that wants a partner to be at the nexus between your company and the community, get in touch with Nexus Community Partners. We have one last question.
Even if you are individuals.
Yeah.
Who want your resources, your money.
Yep.
to be applied in this way because you believe in the strategy and the mission, then reach out.
Yeah. We are in Thanksgiving weekend. We know that there's somebody out here that's hurting, whether it be grief, whether it be food insecurity, whether it be the oppression from racism, you name it, there's a lot of problems out there. But earlier in the conversation we had off mic, you gave this, you made this statement that we, all that we need, we already have.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I think the talent, the skill, the imagination, the hope, the will. Folks are ready to act. I think we have all that. I mean, you know, the missing piece is folks need access to resources that allow them to take hope to will to action. And I don't think it's a shortage of commitment. I don't think it's a shortage of seeing the long game or the long run. I don't think any of those things are the problem that we're faced with. I think you can elevate up the conversation that we were talking about with folks getting $50,000 and dreaming and doing the right thing. We can elevate that up, right? So we're not short on gifts and wisdom and talent. We're not short on that kind of stuff. What we have to do is get the kind of resources behind people's efforts and abilities. And I think we'll see major shifts.
And it sounds like you also need some vision. And we've got to give it some time to all play out, yeah, that vision.
Yeah. It's a long, it is a, you know, I often say, you know, you have to meet the long-term nature of the challenge or the possibility that you're looking at with a long-term frame around resources to support it, right? This stuff ain't turning around in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't happen in a short period of time.
Absolutely.
So certainly can't
absolutely
fix it all in a short period
absolutely
of time. This, I don't know that I have words to describe what this experience, this conversation with you has been, what it means, how it can continue to impact people. And again, in this season of Thanksgiving, we are certainly thankful to you for spending some extra time with us and sharing a lot about your story, the Nexus Community Partner story, and all the wonderful things that you all are doing. So a hearty thank you, heartfelt thank you.
Well, and a deep appreciation for you all having me. And, you know, I am humbled to be able to be doing this work. I mean, this work is, I think, worthy work. And to be gifted with it is humbling.
You said it yourself. I think it was yesterday. It's your purpose and your calling.
My purpose is my calling, not my career or my occupation.
Love that. Love that. Pa, thank you. Not just for being on our podcast today, but for the work, for the leadership, for the leaders you're creating, for the community that you are listening to and reacting to and lifting up. I just appreciate you, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.